Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here heading towards life once again. I'm on holiday at the moment with my children and my husband and my parents, and it is a wonderful thing to come and do this podcast, I have to say, in amongst pure, active, constant domesticity. And my little boy is 19 months old and runs around and throws himself at water and climbs everything and whatever. So being with you here, Justin, for half an hour is quite the treat. And the physical kind of break, which is very, very lovely. And when I read the source, I thought, my goodness, how wonderful to have this in the midst of the hardcore moments of parenting that feel relentless and never ending, and where it feels essential that I really do my best to keep in touch with all of this so that I can remain closer to who I really want to be and who I feel like I am in amongst the everyday kerfuffleage of parenting. And I'm really, really grateful to be here. I was just feeling that really, really keenly this morning, like, oh look, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read something, and I'm going to reflect, and I'm going to wonder, and I'm going to feel, and I'm going to find my center, and I'm going to love it. And I know that because we've done it so many times now that I know that that's what's going to happen. And I'm really grateful to be here, so thank you. And I want to remind everyone that if you want to receive this into your inboxes each week, Justin, our techno babe here, has set up this way of you receiving emails with each of our podcast episodes into your email address. If you go to our website, www.turningtowards.life, you can sign up there. You can support us there. And you can also see about our new event that's coming up in September, which is Turning Towards Life Live. And you can just wander into the description of what it is and feel into it. I've been feeling into it these days as well and thinking, what is this and what are we doing it for? And somebody asked me a question the other day and about really what it was, and I realized that this Turning Towards Life Live thing is I think is an extension of the gift, Justin. It's an extension of the gift that we've received by doing this. And your gifts may be different to mine that you've received, Justin, but mine are certainly this capacity to talk and express myself and be in a real conversation from the inside of me so that I can gather confidence for the things that I feel and feel clear and less clear about, but nonetheless express myself. And finding language for my inner world is a necessity here. Like, I have to do that. So I'm viewing it as an extension into other people's lives of the practice of actually speaking out what's on the inside and being in some kind of community to do that. So it's helped me, I guess, find my voice in the world over these last however many years it's been. And that feels like a very important thing, to be able to find one's own way of saying things and expressing things. And I know it's helped me enormously in all my relationships, in my work, in my coaching, in my closest friendships even. Like, it's had a wholesome effect, like an integral effect, if you like, as in it applies everywhere. But I know how to talk about what's on the inside of me and what I can see in the world. And it doesn't only belong on the inside, it also belongs on the outside. And I think the impact on that of that has been for me that it lightens the load of this inner existence that I have and makes it equal on the outside than the inside. And that feels in my body a very blessed thing, to know that who I am on the inside also exists on the outside for everybody to receive and to be in relationship with. So that's one way of speaking about what I think Turning Towards Life Live really is at its heart. And that's my intention in the offering of it too, is for people to join us and see what impact the voice finding might have, and finding ways of expressing in response and with the assistance of all of the beautiful sources we're going to have there and everything. So I wanted just to say that and invite you to check it out. And also maybe, Justin, to invite you to say what it means to you to be doing it as well before we get into the source for today.
Well, it's all the things that you've just said, Lizzie. And I should say, for anyone who hasn't heard the details yet, so this is starting in September, 6 months, once a month, we'll be making community online and then having an opportunity for you to join us in being alongside us in one of these conversations each time, but also then having one of these conversations with other people each time. And I think it's all of those things, Lizzie. And the other thing I think about it is, I was struck in what you were saying that there's something very important about contact with our own inner worlds and then bringing it into relationship with others. I think that's a sort of quintessentially human something. And lots of us get, I think, depending upon where you are in your life and what you're up to in your life, we may get lots of places that we get to talk about the practicalities of life or what happened in life, but we may not get opportunities to really engage with deep questions about what is it to be a living person at all? What is it to be a human? And I think we humans need this, actually. I think that's why many communities, cultures, traditions have a history of the kinds of practices of sacredness and contact and presence that we've maybe lost some contact with in contemporary culture. So it's a very sweet and special thing to do, to come and learn together and to talk about big questions together and for it to be safe and welcome to do so. And to what you and I do, as we're about to do now, Lizzie, with this source that I've brought, is it's also the specialness of giving it a go. Like, we're going to talk about growing old, illness, death and change in a moment. And we have no idea what we're going to say, but we know that engaging with this question will stir things and enliven things, and I will learn from you and you'll learn from me. And so turning towards life live is a chance to engage in that practice together. So starts early September. You sign up for 6 months, join us for 6 months. We'll make community for 6 months. And then when 6 months is over, we'll start again. And you can join us again if you wish. I'm very excited about it. So maybe another time, Lizzie, we'll take some more time to talk about it. But I think, you know, at greater length. But for now, I think it's great to have said it. And as you said, Lizzie, turning towards .life is the place to go. And you can click on a link there and find out all the details. And then you can see how you can join us if that's what you want to do. So, as always, we have a source for this week. For all of you who are with us, you can always find the actual source on the website, in the show notes for the podcast, and the YouTube, and on Facebook, all those places. And this is from the wonderful teacher Thich Nhat Hanh, from his book On Fear. And Lizzie, you'll know this, but I think I want to say this. It draws on four of the five remembrances from the Buddhist tradition. And it plays a very big role in our professional coaching course as well, part of this text. It's a central piece of our inquiry in learning how to be present and contactful with ourselves and with others in this extraordinarily mysterious human condition we find ourselves in. It goes like this. I am of the nature to grow old. I cannot escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. I cannot escape having ill health. I am of the nature to die. I cannot escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. And then Thich Nhat Hanh says, looking deeply at each remembrance and breathing in and out with our awareness of each one, we engage our fear in an empowered way. Most of us don't want to acknowledge it, so we live more or less in denial. Yet down deep in the recesses of our minds, we know it's true. And when we suppress our fearful thoughts, They continue to fester there in the dark, and we're driven to consume in an attempt to forget and keep those thoughts from surfacing in our conscious mind. Running away from our fear ultimately makes us suffer and makes others suffer, and our fear only grows stronger. Invite your fear into consciousness and smile through it. And every time you smile through your fear, it will lose some of its strength. And if you try to run away from your pain, there's no way out. We must invite these things up into our mind consciousness every day and tell them, my dear, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of my fear. It is my nature to grow old. I cannot escape old age. When fear manifests, we want to have the seed of mindfulness and also manifest to embrace it. So we have two energies present. The first is the energy of fear, and the second is the energy of mindfulness. And the fear receives a bath of mindfulness and becomes a little bit weaker before it drops back down into the depths of our consciousness in the form of a seed.
Thank you, Justin. So here we go again, this wonderful passage from Thich Nhat Hanh. I am of the nature to grow old. I cannot escape growing old. I'm of the nature to have ill health. I cannot escape having ill health. I am of the nature to die. I cannot escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. And Thich Nhat Hanh says in response, looking deeply at each remembrance and breathing in and out with our awareness of each one, we engage our fear and in an empowered way. Most of us don't want to acknowledge it, so we live more or less in denial. Yet down deep in the recesses of our minds, we know it's true. When we suppress our fearful thoughts, they continue to fester there in the dark. We are driven to consume in an attempt to forget and keep those thoughts from surfacing in our conscious mind. Running away from our fear ultimately makes us suffer and makes others suffer, and our fear only grows stronger. Invite your fear into consciousness and smile through it. Every time you smile through your fear, it will lose some of its strength. If you try to run away from your pain, there's no way out. We must invite these things up into our mind consciousness every day and tell them, my dear, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of my fear. It is my nature to grow old. I cannot escape old age. When fear manifests, we want to have the seed of mindfulness also manifest to embrace it. So we have two energies present. The first is the energy of fear, and the second is the energy of mindfulness. The fear receives a bath of mindfulness and becomes a little bit weaker before it drops back down to the depths of our consciousness in the form of a seed.
I want to start by reading this first bit again, Lizzie, before I say anything. I'm of the nature to grow old. I cannot escape growing old. I'm of the nature to have ill health. I cannot escape having ill health. I'm of the nature to die. I cannot escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There's no way to escape being separated from them. I realized when I brought this, Lizzie, that we could, and maybe we should, just take one of these and have it be the source for a whole thing, because there's too much to say about all of this. But it's very tender, isn't it? I mean, I always feel very tender. Gosh, look at us. Look at our situation. I want to say there are some really big things that we have absolutely no control over whatsoever, like none. And it's not possible to argue with these remembrances. I can't, when I look at them and really let myself inhabit them from the inside, not just read them as a sort of a, you know, like I might read a Wikipedia entry or something, oh, that's very interesting, you know, but really let myself be on the inside of them, there's no arguing. And it's very tender. And I think Thich Nhat Hanh is saying something so important. He says, what we mostly do is we do our best to try not to feel any of this. And then look at the huge constructs we make to keep ourselves away. I think busyness, for example, is one really interesting place to start, because I think that busyness is itself a way in which we might try and go, well, if I stay busy and active and doing things and making things happen or trying to make things happen, I'll never really have to face the limits of this. I can sort of stave it off. I can feel effective or productive, or I can feel like I'm working towards something, or I can. And I think a lot of us, the moment we stop, that's when we feel all of this bubble to the surface. And I'm feeling very aware of it today. I've just come back from a few days walking on my own by the coast in the southwest of the UK. And I basically didn't see anyone for about 2 days. I was completely on my own. And I notice how much feeling there is when I stop doing all of my ordinary talking to people, having my to-do list, you know, admin. There's a lot of feeling there, and a lot of it is to do with this. And I've got a lot to say about it, but I think for now, the seed that I want to just drop here, the thing that I love most about Thich Nhat Hanh's articulation is actually just two words near the end where he says, here's how to address them, is to say, my dear. Like, these fears are not aliens or monsters come to invade us. They are our most intimate experience of being a person. Once we get that we're vulnerable to all of this, they're with us all the time. So we can fight them or ignore them or try and push them down or try and make sure we don't have to encounter them. But they're going to visit us. So another way to relate to them is to say to them, my dear, like, you're my most intimate. You're with me. You're right next to me all the time. How about I love you? How about I'm gentle towards you, but also and also look at you and also really see you? And the paradoxical thing about it is I'm not for a moment going to claim to be a person who is free of anxieties around all of this, but I do more often have moments where I look at it and I go, I'm able to go, it's my nature to grow old. Oh my goodness, thank goodness I'm a person, I'm here. Of course it's my nature to grow old. That means I'm alive. I'm of the nature to die. Oh my goodness, that means I'm here and I'm alive. It's like enormously contact making when it's possible to come at it the way that Thich Nhat Hanh says. And I've had my, I think through following Thich Nhat Hanh's invitation, I feel like I'm getting a sense of what it is to actually keep on remembering and keep on welcoming and then keep on being enlivened by it, rather than keeping on my strategies of numbing and deadening and trying to get away from it, which is the thing that he warns us about.
Justin, there's so much bubbling in me as you're saying all of this, and of course the receiving of Thich Nhat Hanh's words and these things remind us. And I think the phrase that's coming to mind really strongly is self-remembrance, and what on earth that means. And I love this as a kind of guiding light as to what anyone's talking about when they talk about self-remembrance, because what's kind of left feels like self. Like when I allow these things to come into consciousness, and all of those avoidance strategies and strategies of denial move to one side, even for a second, I feel like self remains, like you said, aliveness. Like, oh, I'm alive. Like there's somehow qualities of self feel like they get revealed as long as I allow these things to be present and then bring mindfulness to them and see a strategy that I'm up to. The strategy slightly moves to the side, my busyness wanes, and then what am I left with? It's being and self. So I'm really, really appreciating that invitation to self-remembrance. And as you're talking, Justin, I'm remembering the first time I heard these truths. And it was on my go round the professional coaching course back in 2010, I think it was. And I could not stop laughing. There was something about the way that this revealed an underlying something in me, like the reason for all of my stuff, the reason for my busyness, the reason for my avoidance, the reason for my denial, the reason for my escapism, the reason for my thinking everything is better over there than it is here. Like, oh, there was so much was in my awareness of what I was up to, but the thing underneath it as to why I was doing all those things, why I was strategizing in that way to kind of escape, basically, when I couldn't. Anyway, because my body is my body and I couldn't escape. When they got revealed to me through this, I remember just being hysterical for like a really long time and feeling the relief. And as you were speaking, I think that relief came back to me. The relief of going, oh yes, this is what's going on. I am avoiding me being of the nature to die and doing getting up to all of this stuff so that I don't have to think that or feel that or face that or confront that. And seeing that as the reason for what I was doing and getting up to in my life felt like a blessed relief. And it wasn't only me, like everyone's doing that. Because I remember the, and you know, I was saying the kind of aspects of self seem like they get revealed when these things move to the side a little bit. I think a whole load of stuff moved to the side. And one of the aspects of self for me is joy. It's the joy of being. And I feel like that got fully relieved. And I'm taken back to that memory as you're saying this now, remembering my initial encounter with it. And I think over time it's become different. And my response is different every time I hear and feel. And I'm really taken by this invitation of we must invite these things into our consciousness every day and tell them. And feeling the beauty of going, okay, I'm going to live with this every day. It's not just an event or a workshop or a thing I go on to feel better or something. The kind of everydayness of this, because of course it's true every single moment, every single day, every single hour, every single everything that we are, this is it. This is true always. And so to feel into this every day and then let that seep into our decisions and our actions and our relationships and our, I'm feeling the power of doing that, the everydayness part of this, and watching and studying ourselves. You know, the kind of the journaling aspect of things, Justin, when we just write some stuff down, write all the strategies of avoidance of these things I can see today. What have I been up to? And kind of connecting it all up feels really important as well. Because often I think it's really hard to make the connection. Sometimes I feel like I don't really know why I'm doing the thing I'm doing. I can tell it's kind of either addictive or avoidant or in denial about something, but I don't quite know why I'm doing it. And so this kind of helps me scaffold my way into understanding myself and understanding why I'm up to what I'm up to, because I'm afraid of something. And this invitation to work with our fear like it's something to be welcomed and treated like a deer rather than a thing to run from and a thing to be afraid of. I can say, okay, yeah, I'm really afraid of that. And then somehow because I'm turning towards it, it dissipates and it becomes something to be encountered. But as long as I'm pushing it away, it feels really scary. And then when I just go, oh, hello, it kind of loses its charge somehow and I can see it for what it really is, which kind of is the same with humans too. Like I know that when I'm scared of a person, when I connect, it's a different thing that happens than my kind of imaginary, fearful, well, if they did this, I would be broken or something. But if I turn towards it and really be with it, it doesn't have to have that same charge in it that feels like it's going to electrocute me and I'm going to die if I get in touch with it.
I want to acknowledge that that experience of coming across these the first time can be shocking in a way. Like, it's not like there's anything really surprising in any of it, but because many of us live in a culture that's really done its best to get these out of the way, like we don't have to think about them, it can be tremendous shock, but there's also great aliveness in the shock. And I'm really with you what you're saying when you're talking about self. I'm thinking also another word for it is sort of like our own life force becomes apparent when we come into contact. Like, here I am. I am right now alive. What it means that I can say these is I'm here now. Like, I'm alive. What am I going to do with that? I was thinking a couple of weeks ago when we were reading a source by Joanna Macy, it began with Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel saying just to be alive is a blessing, and it's a sort of reminder of that. And I was thinking whilst you were speaking, Lizzie, that there's a way in which none of these, I think what Thich Nhat Hanh is inviting us into is not to stop these having a charge to them, but to stop, find a way to meet the charge that they have with some kind of welcome. Because you could go down the line of, well, this will be another strategy for me not to have to feel this stuff again. If I sort of welcome it, hello, my dear, then I can forget it again. But that's not what he's asking of us. What he's suggesting to us is that we use this as a way to keep on waking ourselves up to life, to the opposite of going to sleep. It's like, I'm going to lose everybody and everything. That's what happens to all of us. It's terrible in one way, you know. Everyone I love, everyone, and either I'll lose them or they'll lose me. And in the doing so, I'll lose them. Everything is changing all the time. We were at very dear friend's 30th wedding anniversary yesterday, and they showed videos of their wedding, and which we were at. So I'm 55, and we were 25, and it was like looking through a time machine. It feels like yesterday, but there were these babies, you know, on the screen, and it's like, so it could go, oh, let's just deny it and pretend, but actually it could be a shock into life. And one of the ways I found it really helpful increasingly in my life, Lizzie, to keep repeating these to myself and trying to stay awake to them as often as I can. And I don't remember to do that every day, but I feel like I've gone around it enough that I've got the taste of it very often each day. So in addition to the kind of journaling and observing and watching patterns that you're suggesting, whilst I've been walking these last 3 days, one of the reasons I brought this today is I've just been circling around these four remembrances, walking and saying them and walking and saying them and walking and saying them. And I can feel in myself both the ongoing shock at them and then also a feeling of great delight. Like, I want to use my life well when I read these. I want to be awake. I want to be here. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss a moment of it. And I don't want to miss the pain and the sorrow as much as I don't want to miss the joys and the weirdness and the playfulness and the simplicity. And I don't feel like that all the time. I don't want to make some crazy claim here, but these really help me remember. And I think the thing about them is, I think what's shocking about them is that they do really put us in contact with what we cannot control. And for any of us, I'm certainly one of these people who've learned to get through the world by trying to control people and things and, you know, having a billion strategies for trying to do that and not always knowing that's what I'm doing. I know from a couple of my own close-to-death experiences, either accidents that nearly happened or being in the midst of very, very serious illness, that sense of, oh my goodness, there is absolutely nothing. This is out of my hands. is a really shocking experience. It's out of my hands. I know now that knowing that now is really helpful, because the illusion that actually I'm sort of like God, I'm in control of everything. Actually, to be human is to not be in control of any of those things at all. And the more I let myself feel it and go, hello, my dear, I'm not afraid of you, or maybe I am afraid of you, but I'm turning towards you as an intimate and I'm going to get to know you, the more able I am to be in contact with this selfhood, this aliveness that I have, and then I have a better chance of living. And I'm really glad for that, because I really want to live in whatever life I've got. I really want to live in it. And thank goodness for these words.
Mm. Yeah, what's coming up for me, Justin, is that I know I can get into a kind of, well, I'm exempt from all of this. I'm special. I'm not going to get old. I'm not going to get ill. I'm not going to lose anyone. Like, I know that I'm the anomaly. I remember thinking, well, if they gave me anesthetic, I know it wouldn't work on me because I'm different. Of course, have an anesthetic, bonk, and straight out. Like, I am the most bog standard, as all of us are, human being. And I think the real excellent kind of clunk that this is for me is that it connects me to every other single human being that is. Like, this is true for every single person. There's no way that this is not inclusive. You know what I mean? Like, this is entirely inclusive of every single human being that exists. And I feel like inclusion is connection, and me being special is disconnection, even though being special feels kind of comfortable and I get to be different or something. It's not true. It's really not true. And so I'm brought into contact with that kind of, I guess, wish to be exempt from all of this. Like, I don't want this to be true. And maybe on one level, it's not true. You know, like, being maybe is not of the order of these things. Humanness is, but what we're imbued with and who we really are is not subject to death and is not subject to illness. The being in each of us. And of course, that makes me ask loads of questions about where we go, where we came from. You know, when I look at my children, I'm like, who are you? Where did you come from? What are you? What are you made of? I don't understand. You know, I mean, I'm totally mystified by this whole experience in so many ways. So I think maybe that's the kind of that specialness, like in my dear, it has some intelligence in it. It has some truth in it. Like, yes, of course, being is exempt from all of this. But this flesh, this lived experience, is. And I'm really, I feel like it's an individual practice, this mindfulness thing. But of course, like everything, and it's where we normally come to in these conversations, connect us with other people, with every people. But we are not one another in this regard. You might have different heritage to me and a different set of features to me and all kinds of difference. But these things are the same about you and me. And so we can talk about them and we can... I love this thing at the beginning you said, Justin, about it's really easy to be in relationship with people where you're just talking about what happened and what's going to happen and what your plans are and, you know, and then this important endeavor of talking about what it means to be a human being is so missing from our kind of normal wider culture or just how we interact on a daily basis with everyone. And this kind of conversation of universality and us being the same as one another and what that could be made of feels so welcome. And I'm reminded of all the times that people say, oh, I hate small talk. And I don't particularly hate small talk. I think I'm quite good at small talk. I've got some good skills in that area. But I also know that the life-givingness and the relationship-making and the connection-making of this feels extremely connecting and gentling. It makes me a gentler human being to know that we're all the same in this way. And I'm really grateful for that.
That's such a beautiful place to bring our conversation towards a close, Lizzie. You're reminding us of our shared ordinariness. That this, I was thinking about that when I was walking this week, and I was thinking about it. I've got one little thing to say before we end, which is, I think in a culture which worships youth, I think one of the reasons our culture worships youth is this, what we're talking about. And I think that there's a myth we can have when we're young. We look at older people and we go, gosh, poor them, older people. You know, look at them. And we forget that we're going to be the older people too. It's just not yet. And I really saw that watching this wedding video last night. My friend got up to talk and he choked up in the first, 30 seconds of just talking about 30 years and could feel all of this is there. Like when we really contact it, it's really moving to us. And then we're looking at this video and there's me and my now wife, Davina, when we were 25 and we look so young and now we're in our mid-50s. And then there are all those people in the video who aren't alive anymore.
Yeah.
They're all gone. And your reminder that none of us escape this, and that connects us all in this most profound way. It's such a tender thing to do, to go out on the street and just see all the different people and to know that this is true of all of us, as I'm feeling towards you, as I'm looking at you now, and as I'm feeling towards everyone who's listening and watching and with us. We're all in this together. There's something very sweet also and precious and tender about how we see one another when we remember that. So thank you for this excellent conversation. I was also thinking, Lizzie, that it's very fashionable right now to have like 3-hour podcasts, and we've spoken for 35 minutes because this is sort of like our commitment is to keep it. So there's like 10 days worth of talking of this about this to do, but it is time for us to end. And our way of doing it is to keep on coming back and keep on coming back and keep on coming back. And that's also why I want to invite everyone to think about joining us for Turning Towards Life Live, because it's an opportunity to do that, to have a bounded amount of time to come and talk and listen to other people and then to go away and carry it into your life and then come back a few weeks later and be in it again and then come back and be in it again for a while. It's a very, very special experience. So we'll end for now. Please head over to turningtowards.life to find all the ways you can stay in contact and be involved. And thanks for engaging this beautiful way, Lizzie, as you always do, with such wisdom and kindness and joy and play and straightforwardness as well. And we'll see all of you next week. Bye, everyone.